Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday evening midweek service of Grace and Truth Church, located in Houston, Pennsylvania. And we welcome you, those of you in our local congregation, those of you in our state, in our nation, and those who listen from many countries around the world. Father, may this message be pandemic. May it circle the globe this evening. And may Jesus Christ be honored and glorified by the Word of God from the letter of Paul to Philemon. Bless it for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've entitled the message this evening, Together Again, which I hope to see in the very near future when we are together again face to face. Instead of me preaching to empty seats here at the church and picturing you sitting there and anticipating, looking forward, so looking forward to the day, the days ahead, when we can sit face to face in the fullness of joy and fellowship one with another, building each other up in person. Philemon chapter 1, it's Tuesday, April 14th, 2020. Philemon 1:1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker. Perhaps now more than ever, we can in some way relate to being prisoners, even as Paul is a prisoner in Rome, albeit prisoners in our own homes, or in some instances on work release. The only time we go out is to go to work and then come right back home again, restricted, as it were, from the freedoms that we formerly had and perhaps came to take for granted. I don't think that will be the case so much or as much anymore. Paul is in Roman prison, and though he has some freedom, that is to have others attend to him, he longs for the others, many others, to be with them, to see them face to face, to enjoy their company and their presence and the fullness of joy in spiritual camaraderie or fellowship. And perhaps some of these same longings you are experiencing of late. I find myself wanting to call each one of you, those in our congregation here, to see how you're doing, to both give and receive comfort and encouragement to and fro. And there is no doubt that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ with intense love, often more fervently than we do those who are flesh and blood relations. And that can certainly be the case. Verse 2, now he says in his opening here, in his greeting, he says, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, that is in Philemon's house. So fond is Paul's remembrance of the Bible studies at Philemon's house, where he met Apphia, who he calls the dear sister, and fellowship with brave Archippus. I always want to call him Aristarchus, but it's Archippus, who Paul calls our fellow soldier in Christ, bold and courageous, as he is in the Lord. Absence makes the heart grow even fonder, as all familiarity dissipates, and the sweet fragrance of memories of the times of sweet fellowship, brokenness and joy inexpressible flood the soul and bring a longing to be present once again, to be together again in the local assembly, under the aegis of the Holy Spirit, under the teaching of the Word of God. I got a bad case for it. How about you? How are you feeling in regard to these things? I'm sure that we share these same longings and these same affections one for another. Verse 3, he says, grace, charis, to you. I'll take all the grace I can get. I'll take yours, I'll take mine, and then I'll give some of it back to you. I'll get grace and give grace. Receive grace and give grace. He says, grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The greeting is to one and all, along with the confirmation of abundant grace and peace to each and every one who belongs to the body of Christ. All who are in the royal family of God, the royal family of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 4, he says, I thank God. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. I thank God for every one of you, each one sharing in Christ and with one another their gift and portion in Christ, building up the body of Christ. It's a wondrous thing to have, wondrous thing to belong to, and a wondrous thing to behold when that is occurring. Verse 5 says, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Unlike any worldly fraternity or organization, the church sponsors no distinctions or exclusions to its fellowship and acceptance of believers, regardless of their background, their social standing, their status in the world, or their past life. All are new creatures in Christ, and we dare not operate in partiality or favoritism based on fleshly affinity. Rather, in complete unity and solidarity, we accept one another, one and all, knowing no man after the flesh, only as new creatures in Jesus Christ. Verse 6, he says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake, aiming to please the Lord in all that we think, say, choose, and do, living by faith and aiming at love, the goal of our faith, the objective of all biblical instruction in 1 Timothy 1:5, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Next we have, he says, let's move on to verse 6. Let's recap just for a moment. He says here that, and I pray the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For his glory. For Christ's sake means for his glory, his honor, and his praise. Christ is the author, the object, and the subject of our worship. He alone is the celebrity and role model of every believer. And in all that we do, we look to him, we lean on him, and we live for him. Not for ourselves or for others anymore, though there are definite benefits for us and for them. That is all others in Christ, as we live for Christ. Verse 7, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Here, Paul is quick to remember the works of faith, the labors of love, and the steady production of hope that comes through believers like Philemon. Paul is quick to build up and slow to criticize, even as we ought to be. But not often enough are we so inclined. We need some lessons and learning in diplomacy. Philemon, the book of Philemon, the letter to Philemon, holds forth that teaching for us and provides a shining example of how we're to deal with fellow believers where giving and taking is concerned, where sensitive issues of ownership, profit, and loss are concerned, which must be handled with sensitivity and diplomacy, especially where important spiritual matters or decisions regarding the lives of others are concerned. Be careful. Verse 8, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ knowing that he is the one who has appointed me and given me my authority as an apostle, Paul say, to order you to do what is proper. Paul says, I can demand, but I choose rather to exhort to voluntary action. That is for your spiritual well-being and gracious blessing in the Lord Jesus if you do these things voluntarily, like him. With the authority he has bestowed, like Jesus, with the authority he's bestowed, Paul says, I could command you, but prefer to ask and wait a favorable response as the Lord, by his word and his spirit, motivate you from within and works in your heart. So he'll wait. He'd rather wait than to demand, make a demand. Verse 9, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, do an old man a big favor, since I am also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Please do not add to my suffering or sorrow, to my hardship and difficulty. I might have at one time asserted my authority, but these days, being the mellow fellow that I am, I only wish to gain cooperation by voluntary submission to the word and the will of the Lord. And so he appeals to Philemon on this basis. Then he says, I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. Here Paul's written appeal is for the safe return of Onesimus, a runaway slave who is the property of Philemon. Somehow Paul encountered him in Rome and led him to Christ, and he spent considerable time with him, and Onesimus became his companion and ministered to Paul. And Philemon, who's probably a wealthy businessman or landowner, one who owns slaves, who were used to do all the physical labor, and who in turn were provided for with food, clothing, and shelter. Contrary to what most suppose slaves were, they were not always, nor even usually, poorly treated, beaten, or abused. Rather, in many instances, if not most, they were well taken care of by their masters due to the fact that they were valuable assets, not to mention, in many cases, being as they were, intelligent, honorable, and capable people, without whom there would be limited success for their master's enterprises. Verse 11, he says, speaking of Onesimus, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. Paul saying, though he has disappointed you by deserting his duties and by causing you financial loss or some detrimental effect, I want you to know that he is not at all the same man that left you. Oh, no. He is a new man, a new creation in Christ, returning to you of his own free will, obeying the Lord in all humility, and ready to face any consequences for his actions. Verse 12 says, I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart. With his return, Paul's affection for him and for Philemon are enveloped and included. Paul's telling them that he has great affection for Onesimus, even as he does for Philemon. Verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. Paul says, believe me, I would love to keep him here with me, for he is a wonderful person, a pleasant companion, a humble and devoted servant to the Lord and to me, his prisoner. While he has been with me, he ministered to my needs in order that I might fully concentrate on studying and preparing my defense and confirmation of the gospel. The good news of eternal salvation by faith alone and the finished accomplished redemption of Jesus Christ. Receive by faith the message I was destined to deliver, not only to the masses, but likewise to the kings and rulers of world empires, that all may believe in Christ as God and Savior for the free and irrevocable gift of eternal life, in by and because of who he is, Jesus is, and what he has done as our substitute, surrogate and substitute. Verse 14, he says, but without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. That's how God does things. And likewise, Paul, all things in order to count, in order to be acceptable to God on any level, must be voluntary. Never under compulsion, pressure, or duress. Never because we have to, but rather because we want to. Moreover, because we love to. All action, compliance, or obedience is by deep persuasion, not coercion, from willingness unforced, never coerced, freely received, freely chosen, freely given. That's what God has done. That's how he deals with man. And that is how Paul is dealing with those like Philemon, with whom he has to deal with in diplomacy. Verse 15, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever. In other words, Paul's saying is, reason with me as a reasonable man. Paul is reasoning with a reasonable man. Philemon is a reasonable man. Here he suggests a perhaps, and of course it is so, that all of these events happen for a reason, or to bring about a much more favorable conclusion in the end, in the lives of men, in the lives of Onesimus and of Philemon, and for Paul's sake. That being the temporary loss of service and or profits for the permanent benefit and advantage of the spiritual man returning as a blessing for one and all to Philemon personally and to the church that meets at Philemon's house. He will be an asset in every arena, every area of life. Verse 16, he says, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Indeed, a brother to Paul, and likewise to Philemon, an indispensable member of the body, essential to the maximum edification and function of the local church, as is the case for each of us, as the scripture plainly declares in many places. Verse 17, if then, Paul says, you regard me a partner, accept him as you would even me, myself. Paul says, if I'm your partner, then so is he, even as I am. I am part, and so are you, and so is he. All of us are in this together. We need each other. I need you, you need me, we need each other in the family tree. I've often said, and I'll say it once again. Verse 18, but if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. So let's go back to the natural for just a moment. Here Paul does not intend to have Philemon bear the loss of income by the action of his slave. But Paul, on the other hand, offers to compensate Philemon. Since Paul enjoyed the comfort and received the benefit of Onesimus while he was with Paul in Rome, therefore, Paul is willing to pay for the services rendered, since they belonged to Philemon through Onesimus. It's a good policy to pay for services and not to expect free goods and services from believers and or unbelievers, for that matter. Always be willing to pay a fair price for labor and products. Where gifts are concerned, make sure they are without strings. For if they are not, you will be pressured to reciprocate, which is the way of the world, without any grace aspect to it whatsoever. Verse 19, he says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Then in parentheses, he says, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self as well. An interesting passage. What's inferred here very clearly is that Paul, besides being sincere and honest about repaying Philemon for the services of his slave, is also bold to remind him that in a very real sense, he, Paul, as was often the case, came to their town originally at his own expense and was rarely paid for his time and services, but was forced to bear his own expenses and many other hardships. Therefore, there should probably be no account owed or paid on behalf of either party. Let's call it even. Though what Philemon received then from Paul, and now by the return of his converted slave, would still accrue to Paul's credit. Yes, brother, verse 20, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. The benefit Paul seeks is the spiritual well-being of one and all, and with it the gift of grace, of joy, of peace, of love, and of unity. That's what makes him tick. True affection, momentum, incentive, and progress for the Church of Jesus Christ in every location and without exception in the location where Philemon is in the church that meets at his house. That's what's truly important. Verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Paul's a great diplomat. Paul always delivers, even as Christ wills and works in him by grace, unto the building up of all others in love. Here again, given opportunity, he plans to do so again and again whenever the opportunity is presented. Verse 22, at the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers, I will be given to you. Paul says, you pray for me and prepare a lodging for me, for if I have anything to do with it, I'll be coming to visit, which I am longing to do. Pray that it will be so. God will grant you an affirmative answer when I show up at your door, and I really hope that occurs. Next, in verse 23, in closing, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, greets you. He greeted others and named others in the opening, and now also a greeting in the closing, lest he forget certain ones who are due honor in Christ. Wonderful believers. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. In the meantime, while we are apart, those I am in contact with send their warm wishes and greet you in the Lord Jesus. That is until we meet again. And then he says in verse 24, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. Here we have those that are well known throughout the scriptures who also send their greetings to our friend Philemon. Verse 25, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In all of this and in every way, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, filling you, teaching you, guiding and directing your path, causing you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until we can meet again, Paul says, face to face, for the fullness of joy and fellowship, for maximum edification and encouragement, you are the objects of our intense longing and true affection. It is gut-wrenching to be separated, but will be equally wonderful to be with you again, together again, in the days that lie ahead. To this end, we pray that the Lord will see fit to bring the present crisis to an end, having accomplished his purpose in the church and in the world for which he sent it. Thank you for listening this evening, and until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.